movies and booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
Yes, the best time of the week, and it is movies and booze. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by Esther McCarthy and Jean Smullen. Esther and Jean, how are we both today?
Hello.
The voices of distance and not that lovely, warm, friendly experience we had just 2 weeks back when we were all in the same studio. Esther, you're in your home today, are you?
I am. I'm here surrounded by pillows to try and soften the sound. I've got my makeshift studio on the go here.
It sounds very good. And Gina, you're in your kitchen, are you?
I'm actually not in the kitchen today. I'm actually up in the bedroom today. So it was just easier to, because all the stuff is up here and I just didn't want to feel like dragging it all the way down the stairs. So, but all ready to go and looking at wine sales, believe it or not, there's lots of great value out there at the moment.
Well, I'll tell you, I think with the news and being around Dublin at the moment, the idea of a wine sale is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I mean, really, it is. It's just, yeah, what can you say? I think there's no words, really, you know. But September is the month that there's lots of wine sales and there's great bargains. So if anybody wants to go out and get themselves a nice bottle of wine for the weekend, I've listed a lot of them on the website, on my website, which is jeansmullen.com. But at the moment, O'Brien's have their September wine sale. Wines Direct have a French harvest sale. Supervalue and Dunn's both have French wine sales. And we're going to be looking at a wine from both Supervalue and Dunn's today. And then next week, and we'll be featuring this next week, the Lidl French wine sale starts on the 24th of September. And Aldi have their autumn winter wines coming into their stores on the 21st of September. So it's a bit, you know, the wine industry is seasonal. And, you know, September is usually when we kind of change what we start drinking. So lots of great French wines to drink and more kind of robust winter wines will be starting to appear on our shelves.
Great. Look forward to it. Saddened also, of course, that I'm not able to actually taste these wines. That, for me, is one of the key ingredients of Friday, Jean. It's when you actually pass me one of those wines. So I don't know how I'm going to make up for that.
And actually, I miss it. It's much more fun being in the studio with both of you. So, and, you know, looking at your reactions as we taste the wine. But, you know, hopefully we'll be back in studio again before too long. You know, like we were, what, 3 or 4 months out the last time. And hopefully it'll be much quicker this time.
Yeah, I'd love to see how my performance has altered dramatically after I have even the first sniff of the wine, Jean. It makes the whole thing so much more difficult. Right, but we'll enjoy ourselves anyway, Jean, not to worry. Esther, what movies are we going to be looking at today?
We've got a Bill and Ted movie for the first time in nearly 30 years. So this is as they might say themselves. And you know what? Just on what we're discussing there. We're 6 months into a pandemic, dudes, as they might say. I'm taking a silly comedy. This is what the world really needs right now, I think, is a new Bill and Ted movie.
Thank God for that. So we don't really know what the state of play is at the moment with the cinemas, but are we going to be able to go and see it?
Yeah, I was checking this out and like everything else under the new guidelines, it's difficult to interpret. Technically, Dublin could be looking at cinema closures, depending on the decisions that NEF makes or what's taken up by government today. Technically, it falls into Category 3, but it's open to interpretation as well. I did have a look through it and how various newspapers are covering it as well. And it's a tricky one. I really don't know is the answer on this one. We will know, I suppose, this evening what's happening. But I did check with distributors, film distributors, and even if cinemas in one region, say Dublin in this instance, were to be closed temporarily, the strategy from the distributor's point of view is to release, to go ahead and release the movies in the cinemas where they are open. So, you know, it's like a microcosm of America, really.
Okay.
Los Angeles and New York still haven't opened, but theatres all over the rest of the US are showing movies.
Right. And have you yourself been to the cinema?
I went to one screening, and that was Tenet. And to be fair, the people who were running the screening and the cinema owners were very, very careful with hygiene and social distancing and all of that. However, I will say I take immunosuppressants, so I'm being ultra cautious with this disease, and I have been watching a lot of the movies at home that we talk about.
Okay, fair enough. What's your second movie, by the way?
The second movie, and this is what you're going to see more of, I think. So Bill and Ted is a cinema release, but Nocturnal is our second film this week. And I think what you're going to see more of in months ahead is this model. This is opening in cinemas today, but it's also available to rent at home. So you can pay to watch it at home. It's a dual release in that regard. A little British indie film. Which is really good, actually. It's got a very good young actress, Irish actress by the name of Lauren Coe, who wasn't really on my radar before now. And she's kind of the co-lead here with Cosmo Jarvis, the English actor, who was so good in Cam with Horses recently, the West of Ireland crime thriller. And he's doing a really good job here again. I think it's a serious breakthrough year for him.
Okay. There is a question for you just before we ask about the wines from this week. A few people saying, does Keanu Reeves have a little belly in this movie? He looks a bit aged in the trailers, as does the other guy, to be fair. I'm all for a bit of nonsense and distraction, but do we need this? Well, has he a belly? I can't believe he has a belly.
I think they are kind of bedraggled looking. So it's, you know, I didn't really notice belly, to be honest, but they are really leaning into the idea of the fact that Bill and Ted are now middle-aged, but they're still kind of man-childs. And that's kind of, you know, spawns a lot of the humour in the film, actually.
Okay, good stuff. If you have questions for Esther to do with movies, let us know. 53106 is the text number. We put them to her for you. It's Tom Dunn with you, standing in for Sean today on the Moncrief Show, News Talk 106 to 108. And it is, of course, Movies and Booze. Jean, what wines shall we be tasting today?
Okay, we're going to be tasting from Super Value in their French wine sale, a really, really super Sancerre, the 2017 La Perrière Megalith Sancerre. It's normally retailing at $31.48. I think a lot of them have taken the small VAT reduction off, but the sale price on this is $21.64. And then a French wine with an Irish connection, the Chateau Casa Vielvin from Languedoc, Nessa Corish was her maiden name. She's now Nessa Miguel, who she's from Fox Rock in County Dublin. She's married to Lauren Miguel, the guy who makes this wine. And we're going to be looking at their 2017 Chateau Casa Viel, which is on offer in Dunn's at the moment, reduced from $18.99 down to $12. And this is a wine that has a 91 Parker points. Now, in the wine, anybody who knows anything about wine knows that means very good. So it's great that it's actually here on offer as part of the Dunn's French wine sale. So two really, really good wines to have a look at this afternoon.
Great. I'm excited to be not tasting them, Jean, but I may buy them over the weekend. I have a question for you straight away. Somebody's wondering, will you be having your wine in bed today, Jean, that they're worried no. about? Is that a new protocol?
No, my office, like everybody working from home, my bedroom and office double up. So, I have a large desk in the room that I sleep in, and it doubles as my office as well. So you know, you can all forget any. It's just it's a functional situation.
A bit disappointing there. Listener, before you asking, where can I get a Roland Bouchecourt? Is it Merlot? I really want to get it as a gift for my dad, and I can't find it anywhere.
Ooh, I don't know if you're going to be able to get that here or not. I'm not sure. It's not a wine that's on my radar. And as you know, I actually haven't got a computer in my brain, and I'm working on the computer that I have here. But it's very difficult to get databases to find out what wines are available. Now, I suspect that person actually got that wine in a restaurant, and you know, it's probably only exclusively available in a restaurant. If they want to send us a little bit more information about what region it's from, I can certainly see if we can find something that's similar to it. But if it's Merlot, it sounds like it's an IGP wine, so it's perhaps from the south of France, from the Languedoc. You know, Merlot's not something you see a huge amount of as a single varietal These days, especially not from France. And, you know, in fact, most Merlot that people are drinking today in Ireland is usually a Bordeaux wine that's sort of part of a Bordeaux blend, because Merlot tends to dominate in the wines from Bordeaux. So I'd need a little bit more information to be able to to make some recommendations about that.
Okay, maybe that's a listener called S. So maybe S, if you could send us in a bit more detail, that would be great. 53106. People are really absolutely taken away by the fact that you're broadcasting from your bedroom. I have this vision now in my head of Jean laid on the bed with fluffy slippers on, surrounded by shelves and shelves of wine. Ah, yes.
The wine section. Downstairs, under the stairs, like everybody else. I don't actually have a wine cellar in my house, but I do have it stored on its side, under the stairs, which is kind of the coolest place to keep it. And I have the rad in the hall turned off to try and keep the temperature somewhat even. But nothing. Right. But I am wearing the fluffy slippers. Yep, they're there.
Great. Right, another more serious question. But does a light wine always mean low alcohol? I'd like a light wine, but I still like to get a kick out of it. Any thoughts, please?
No, light wine usually means lighter style wines, and some grape varieties or some wines that are using specific production methods can be lighter in style. A case in point would be a Beaujolais, for example. Beaujolais is a red wine from, it's part of the Burgundy region technically, but it's made from a grape called Gamay. And they use a production technique called carbonic maceration. That's their fermentation technique. And it means that the red wines made from the Gamay grape using this inert fermentation process tend to be very light and fruity with soft tannins and nothing too sort of harsh. They tend to be very soft and easy to drink. So the production method can make a wine a lighter style. And in the summer, a lot of people like to drink Beaujolais. In fact, in the last 5 years, Beaujolais has become really, really popular on the Irish market. You also have grapes like Sangiovese or Pinot Noir, which tend to be slightly lighter in style, even though they are wines that they make wines that can be made for longevity, that will last for a long time. They're lighter in style. They're more perfumed. They do have tannin, but it's not heavyweight. So there's so many different factors, like where the grapes are grown, what the grape style is. So lighter does not necessarily mean low alcohol. Each grape has its own very individual characteristic, and each region and winemaker have their own very distinctive ways of making wine. And all of those influences contribute to what can make a wine heavier in style or lighter in style, particularly with red wines. And even in white wines, if you have Chardonnay that's been aged in wood, it's going to be a much heavier style of white wine than, say, a light Vino Verde from northern Portugal.
Sounds fantastic. So we're going to have your first wine at this point, Jean. What is it we're going to go for first?
First, we're going to start with the Sancerre. This is the 2017 La Perrière Megalith Sancerre. It's on offer in super value nationwide. The sale price is $21.64, reduced from $31.48. Now, the Sage families, for many, many years, super value have been importing directly many of the wines from Maison Sage La Perrière, which is one of the Loire's key producers. Now, this is a huge, big company that was originally founded by Jean-Louis, but today his son Laurent runs the business, and they make wines from nearly every appellation in the Loire Valley. It's a very big company. But the wine that we have today is one of their premium wines, which is only obviously on offer for the duration of the French wine sale. And this is called the Megalith. And it's made from fruit grown on chalk soil. And that's the key to the quality of this appellation, Sancerre. It's made from Sauvignon Blanc. Loire Valley is the home of Sauvignon Blanc. 16% of the total production in the Loire, in terms of grapes, are Sauvignon Blanc grapes. And in fact, it makes up 32% of all Sauvignon planted in France comes from the Loire Valley. Wow. And Sancerre is a region on the left bank of the Loire, northeast of Bourges. Now, grapes have been grown here since 582. And the, you know, in medieval time, the Augustinian monks basically developed winemaking in the region. And originally, Sancerre was best known for red wines made from Pinot Noir. But actually, after phylloxera hit it in the 19th century, they replanted many of the vineyards and they went with planting Sauvignon Blanc. So originally, the Sancerre appellation was granted in 1936. So it's a very famous, one of the original French appellations. Now, the vineyards that produce this particular wine are, you know, the soil is what's key. Limestone, which is basically chalk, some clay, and then this flint in the subsoil. And that's very much the characteristic of this wine. This isn't a cat's pee on a gooseberry bush or something very aromatic like you get in New Zealand. This is edgy and lean. But the thing about this particular wine is that the grapes, the vines are old. They're about 50 or 60 years old. They actually ferment a portion of this wine in wood. And they also use a technique called batonnage, which is basically leaving the dead yeast cells in contact with the wine for a while. And that gives the wine a rounder mouthfeel. So, and I'll just taste you this. This isn't just, you're getting your acidity, you're getting your freshness, but you're getting this incredible minerality showing through. But there's a touch of smokiness. Now, smokiness is a characteristic you would associate with an appellation like Puy Fume, which is on the other side of the Loire River. Yeah. But this is because they've aged in old wood, just to give a little bit of, to round it out. This is a wine that's made for, this is going to evolve. This is going to last for long. This is 2017 vintage, which was actually quite a good vintage. They had a bit of a rocky start. There was a lot of spring frost, but it really came good at harvest time. This is one I'd say, buy it at 21 euro. You can put this and lay this down for a couple of years. This is going to be beautiful. Or you can buy it now and keep it for Christmas when it'll be a fabulous time. To drink around the time when we're all celebrating Christmas. So, yeah, a super wine, you know, not a mainstream, a sort of a unique premium wine from a very famous appellation and a very good producer, the Saget family. So, yeah, lovely wine. Lovely wine.
Sounds great, Jean. This would be the point now where I'd be able to give you some feedback on it and taste it myself. I miss this, you know. But I will say that I think the possibility of buying this and laying it down for 2 years is non-existent. I'd say the current state of morale in the country, if you manage to lay it down as far as Sunday, you'd be doing well.
Yeah, actually, yeah. No, I hear you. I think you're right there, Tom, to be honest with you, yeah.
Yes. It sounds brilliant, though.
And, it is.
I think... Yeah, the Sancerre slightly sweet?
No, Sancerre tends to be a dry in style. Like you've got this limestone soil and the grapes take all the sort of the mineral character from the soil. Like millennia ago, you know, prehistory, Europe was at the bottom of an ocean. And this is the fossilized remain of the sea life. And there's a ridge of what they call Kimmeridge in soil that runs through the Loire, up through the Yonne Valley, which is Chablis, through Champagne. And then it goes under the English Channel and comes up the other side on the south coast, which as the cliffs of Dover. So just a ridge of this soil and all those regions that I've mentioned, Loire, Chablis, Champagne. The key to all those regions is the acidity, and the acidity is coming from the soil. And these are all absolutely fine wine regions making absolutely subtle wines. And all those wines are impacted by that sort of chalk Kimmeridgian soil that the wines are actually grown, or the vines are grown on.
I'll try and get my hands on that, and maybe I'll text to the show. You'll get a text from me next week when Sean is back in the seat, and I'll give you my thoughts, and that might be the best way. By the way, the hashtag today is from Simon Tiermey's slot on Monday. He talked about the clamp, things that changed the world, and the tale of the guy illegally removing a clamp from his car. So that's the hashtag today. It's grinding movies, and I'll give you a few of them. The Grinder That Rocked the Cradle, Carry On Clamping, Crouching Grinder, Hidden Clamper. Oh God, Debbie does Black and Decker, and a few others like that. Keep them coming. Esther, we'll be going over to you in a minute. We're going to start with Bill and Ted, are we?
Yeah, let's do Bill and Ted. Yeah.
Okay, we'll have a quick break, and there's loads more movies and booze to come. We'll have our first movie after this.
Ted and I have known Missy in different capacities for many decades. First, she was our babysitter when we were 10.
Then we both invited her to the prom when she was a senior and we were freshmen.
Yeah. 2 years later, she married my dad, and Missy became mom.
After divorcing Bill's dad, she married my dad and became my mom.
And now she's marrying Ted's little brother, Officer Deacon Logan.
Yeah. Missy, Bill and I, along with my beautiful wife, Elizabeth, and our daughter, Billy.
And my beautiful wife, Joanna, and our daughter, Thea. All want to welcome you back with open arms.
The unmistakable voices of Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter back together again in Bill and Ted for the third of their adventures. And it's Tomlin with you, by the way, here on Standing Up Sean today on the Moncrief Show. News Talk 106 to 108. Esther, I have the hard question for you. Is it excellent or is it bogus?
It's not excellent, but it's excellent enough for surviving a pandemic, I would say. Yeah, I suppose the mad thing about, would you have been a fan of the films that came out
absolutely.
In 89-91? Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. I mean, escapism, and their characters were just very funny. They were very silly, but you loved them. You couldn't help laughing at them.
You know, that's what I like about them. And the search on this one is PG. You can watch this with your family because there's no knowing ironic or kind of smutty humour about it. There's a kind of an innocence to Bill and Ted that I really like. It's not a fashionable style of humour that you see coming out of Hollywood, but it's kind of refreshing for that. And they've done nothing with that format this time. They've done nothing to update it or try and change what worked so well about the first two films. You have the same writers back, Ed Solomon and Chris Matheson, who worked in the other two films. And honestly, all I'm able for this weekend is a film about two metalhead slackers who travel through time. That's all I've got the energy for.
I think an awful lot of people are in the same boat, Esther. I think if ever there was a time for a little bit of escapism, now is the time. And I'm delighted to hear they haven't tried to update it or change it or make it crazy in any kind of way. So what is their kind of conundrum? What are they facing into?
Well, there's time travel, there's music, lots of it, and it's as daft as you'd expect. So the two of them they've learned that they've got, you're going to have to ask me to explain this plot now, and you're just going to have to take it for what it is, okay? They've been told by an evil alien that they have just 77 minutes to write a Preston Logan tune, as you'll know from the other films, that's their surnames, that will unite the world and save reality as we know it. So that's all they've got. They've got an hour and a bit. And it's a chance to save the world and reality as they know it. And also an opportunity to get the Wild Stallions, the rock band they've been trying to make a success for decades, a hit at last. You might remember Wild Stallions is spelled W-Y-L-D-S-T-A-L-L-Y-N-S. But you see, the problem with Bill and Ted, like, they've always had this dream, but they were never the most focused or motivated. So they're a bit spooked out by the deadline. And as any two sensible slackers decide in this situation, the best approach is time travel, Tom. You know, time travel is the way. So they get a phone kiosk and they use that to travel to various futures in a bid to find the timeline where they have written the song and had a successful outcome. Then they're going to grab the song, bring it back to the 77-minute time and save the world and reality as we know it. That's the idea.
That's a very Homer-esque type of solution. May I say it's the laziest possible thing they can do?
Absolutely. They're two middle-aged dads. We heard there to the dismay of their wives, they still do everything together. They even go to marriage counselling as two couples. And they have two teenage daughters. Now, this is what makes the film work, really. Besides the charm of Bill and Ted, this is how they've given it a new dimension. Their two teenage daughters, Billy, who's played by Bridget Payne, and Thea, who's played by Samara Weaving, who's Hugo Weaving's niece, actually. But the two of them bear this uncanny resemblance to their dads. They're like female teenage versions of Bill and Ted, and it is so funny. And their performances, I kept seeing just like young female Keanu Reeves. Like, she has his, you know, mannerisms off to a T, like, so that's actually quite fun. So they decide to go hopping through the past to find a band that can write the hit song for their dads, because much as they love them, they're not confident about their future time travel thing. So they go through the past. Along the way, they meet everyone from Mozart to Jimi Hendrix as they try and find the perfect song to save reality as we know it.
I'm gonna sounds keep absolutely great. And that is
you're in three-star territory here. Let's not get carried away, you know, but it's just they commit to this silly concept. They have a hoot with it. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's barely 90 minutes, this one. And as I say, there's something likeable about how unfashionable it is, how naive they are, how unironic the humour is. Possibly, you know, have there been any less cynical films that have come out through the Hollywood studio system? I would struggle to think of one.
Very good.
And Keanu has hinted, you know, he says if the fans want another one, we'll look at it. So we might be even getting another movie.
Could be another five or six of them by the sounds of it. That's in cinemas. It's that's not streaming like that. So
no, you'll have to go to the pictures to see that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a few questions for you, Esther. Listeners are asking, have you seen the new Netflix offering from Tom Holland and Robert Pattinson, The Devil All the Time? Hoping to watch it tonight. Yeah, have you seen that one?
I did watch it. I watched it the other night, actually. I got a preview. It's landing tonight. It's very good, but I found it a bit meandering, a little bit too long. It's a good 2 hours, 20 minutes. But the performances are great, and gosh, they have a starry cast for that one. It's worth your time for sure.
Okay, and people also mentioned Le Mans 66 on Sky during the week. Excellent, excellent movie. Did it get much fanfare at the time? I felt like it fell under the radar. It did go a little bit under the radar, didn't it?
It did, and it's so good. And the performances again are great in it. And it's like that film, the motor racing film from a few years ago, Rush. Like, it really does give you that sense of urgency and the race. To, you know, it's about Ford taking on Ferrari on Le Mans, the 24-hour famous race in France that's held every year. They kind of, it was Ford tried to buy Ferrari, and Ferrari kind of dismissed the attempt in such a derisory manner that Ford said, right, let's take you on in this race. And it's very, very entertaining. Really good performances as well. From everybody, actually, and worth your time for sure.
I wish I could see it again. It's brilliant. Right, we're going to have a quick break out of the way and some more hashtags, and then we'll be moving towards our second wine with Jean in just a minute or two. Very welcome back. Tom Dunn with you in for Sean today. News Talk 106 to 108. If you want to get in touch, 53106 for your text or email. Afternoon, newstalk.com. We've had one wine and one movie so far. More of them to come. The hashtag today is Grinding Moves. And a few more of them. Beautiful Grind, the WD-40-year-old virgin. That's very clever. Grinding Nemo, Pulp Friction, and the Grind that Shook the Barley. I do have questions for you. And Jean, I think we don't have to wake you now or anything, Jean, if you're in that bedroom. You're all still with us.
To be honest, I stupidly turned on the washing machine, and I knew that if I sat downstairs, when the spin cycle came on, I wouldn't be able to broadcast from the kitchen. So that's why I'm actually upstairs. So.
these are the dangers.
All this great nuances.
The dangers of the home broadcasting. I've further questions for you. As we possibly enter level 3 or level 3.5 or whatever they're showing us to, can I level up my wine? I was thinking of drinking a nice French wine tonight. I need top level France, please, Jean, if you don't mind.
Well, the next wine, our Chateau Cazalvielle, which was a 91 Parker Point. Stay tuned and we'll tell you all about that. That's available in the Dunstores wine sale.
That's the man we want. So, and I love this question. I'm picking up a sense of people turning to a little bit of drink today with the news going around. I just bought myself and my husband a bottle of Tattinger Champagne Brut Reserve. Is it nice or should I consider another at the same level? Any advice, welcome. Thank you, Ruth.
Tattinger is just fabulous. I mean, I've told the story before on Movies and Booze. Many years ago when I was studying the diploma, we actually, all the group of us, we were all studying together. There was about 35 of us. We pooled our resources and did a blind tasting of all the Grand Marks, and Tattenjay came up in the top five. I love it. It's a super, super champagne. So no, that's a very good choice, and enjoy it.
What price would that be? So I'd find out how much fun Ruth's planning to have over the weekend.
Usually, it's in the region between 55 and 60 a bottle. Some of them, you know, you will find, again, there's lots of offers out there at the moment. So we could get a tweet saying, oh, it's available at €50 in such a shop. But you're usually looking at about the €60 mark, maybe a little less.
Okay. And before we go to your second one, a listener looking for a Santo Dino Italian wine. Can't find it anywhere. It was in Super Value, not in their stores now. Any help there, please?
It could be just one of those wines that they've had in on a, you know, I don't know why it's not there. Sometimes, you know, wines come in for a while and then they go off the shelf and they come back in. What I'd say is go into your Super Value and ask the fellow in the off-license department where the wine is and when it's due to be back. That's probably the best way to deal with that.
Okay, and just one more quick one. I'd love to find some Valdo Prosecco. Any tips on that?
Valdo should be widely available. It's in restaurants as well, but it's in the independent off licenses. And what I love about Valdo is that every year they produce a different label, and it's always very kind of garish and exciting with lots of flowers, and they get different artists to do it to produce the label every year. Valdo is actually a premium Prosecco, and it's a very good quality Prosecco. It will be in the independent off license. You could try, well, I don't know where the listener is, but in Dublin you could try Gibney's in Malahide, or McHugh's in Artane, or Mitchell and Son, or, you know, the Vintry in Rathgar. You know, it'll be in those independent off licenses, Ardkeen stores in Waterford, O'Donovan's in Cork, Shannon Knight's, you know, the Wine Centre in Kilkenny. They're usually the sort of places that you'll find the Valdo Prosecco.
Okay, Jean, I know you're excited about this next one, and there is an Irish connection to it as well. So what is it exactly?
This is the 2017 Chateau Casa Viel. And I know Nessa and Laurent, and in fact, in 2014, I went to visit them. And I put a picture, actually, of Nessa outside their summer residence, actually up on, I tweeted it with a picture of the bottle today. And in fact, Nessa was pregnant with her second baby, who was a little girl at the time. But the story is, it's straight out of a romantic novel. Nessa, who's from Foxrock, traveled to France when she was 18 to study French. And she met a young Frenchman. You know, you're 18, you meet some fella at a dance. And they started going out. And when she came back to Dublin, she was studying in Trinity. The romance continued. And over the next literally 6 years, she was first of all doing her degree, her science degree. And then afterwards, she was working on work experience in Dublin. And by 2001, she decided, right, this is getting serious, so I'm going to move to France. 20 years and two kids later, they live in the estate, the main estate in Saint-Chinian and Chateau Casa Viel. And Nessa basically goes out and travels all over the world. Well, she used to, when you could still travel, selling the wines. And this is what's really nice about this particular wine. This is one of their award-winning wines. And normally it's only available in like exclusive restaurants in France and in the United States. But, you know, obviously COVID has changed everything. So they got us, you know, they got in touch with Dunn's, who they have had a working relationship with for many, many years, and said, look, would you be interested in selling some of the Casa Viel? And of course, Dunn's jumped at the chance because they said, well, wow, this is fantastic, because this is such an iconic wine. And again, with the 91 Robert Parker points, you know, that really says it all. So, you know, a little bit about Laurent Miguel. Laurent's dad was actually a lawyer and a winemaker. And actually, Laurent himself was originally an engineer. Both father and son hadn't really intended in getting into the wine business. They were kind of, they had jobs outside the family business. Originally, they came from Bordeaux. And when Laurent was growing up, he was dismissively told that nobody could make good quality wines in the Languedoc. And that was basically the gauntlet thrown down. So he moved to the Languedoc and made it his mission to create, you know, award-winning wines. And basically, he has in 30 years, he's created this incredible identity for the region's wines, and particularly the appellation that they're based in, which is Saint-Chinian. Now, this is the 2017 Vielvine, means old vines. And today is actually International Grenache Day as well, the 18th of September. So we're, you know, we can throw that into the mix as well. This is a cuvée. It's a blend of three grapes, Syrah, Grenache, and a tiny little bit of Mourvèdre, about 10% of Mourvèdre, that just adds a bit of depth of flavour. It's aged in oak barrels, and it's a very savoury kind of, yeah, I mean, this had like a kind of a, after it was made, they left it in bottle for a year before they released it. And because there's a bit of Syrah in it as well, it's got all that spiciness, but it's got this gorgeous kind of earthiness as well coming through. I mean, again, this is a super wine. It's on offer. It's normally $18.99 and it's on offer €12. Now, I know at the moment this is walking off the shelves, because I did check with Dunn's. They said they've a little bit of it left, right? But they've also got a huge, they've got loads of other wines in there. But you know, this one, get in quick and get the last of it, because it's a super wine.
I may need to interrupt you, Jinx. I need to actually go to Dunn's. So sorry, I have to leave now. I want to try and fit in our last movie, our second movie take. Listen to this. This is from Nocturnal.
Where do you live?
Nowhere suitable for a posh laugh.
I am not posh. I can burp the alphabet in like 30 languages.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have a conversation when you can fart the national anthem.
Deal.
How about that?
Done. Oh, shit. I think I have to go.
Mummy calling you, is she?
No. Wait.
What?
For you.
Oh. Thank you. Look after my jacket.
So that is from Nocturnal. Jean, kind of moody and dark thing, and this is available to rent as we speak.
Yes, or you can go to the cinema and see it tonight as well. It's a dual release, this one.
And Esther, by the way. Yes.
Yeah, Cosmo Jarvis being very good here again, the British actor. He does that kind of, he's got a kind of real hulking physique, but he's doing these real kind of intimate dramas. You know, he could be probably taking on Captain Marvel by now, but he's instead doing these really interesting films, I think. Very character driven and matched scene by scene here with the young Irish actress Lauren Cole, who I hadn't seen before, but is really, really good as this kind of wayward teenager. She's raised in Ireland, but her mother is English, and they've moved back to a seaside town in the north of England, where she's really finding it very hard to fit in. She's getting bullied and getting jibes from her classmates, and is a bit of a loner. So when she spots this fellow loner kind of watching her from afar during her athletics class, she is a little bit concerned, but also quite intrigued. And that loner is Pete. He's played by Jarvis, and he's a painter and decorator who lives in a flat in the town. She confronts him for being creepy, but actually the two of them hit it off and they start spending time together, going drinking together, to the grave concern of her mother, who's played by Sadie Frost. And it's a connection, I suppose, that risks upending both of their lives. And I'll say no more than that. It's a very good feature, this. It's the first feature from an Irish-based filmmaker, actually, even though this one's set in the UK. She's by the name of Nathalie Bensherry. And she's kind of currently causing a bit of a buzz. You know, this is regarded as a very good debut from her. And she's already making her second feature, being backed by Screen Ireland in Dublin at the moment, with George McKay from 1917 and Lily Rose Depp. So, you know, that's a big step up. That's called Wolf. And I've heard really good things about the screenplay on that one as well. So I think she is a filmmaker to watch out for. I think this film showed its hand a little bit too early for me, and that took a lot of the tension out of it. But I will say no more than that.
All right, very good. Esther, thank you very much for that. And Jean, thank you as well. Lovely talking to you both, even if we're all kind of spread around the place. It's not the normal crack, I suppose it would be. But lovely to talk to you both. That's it for today. I'll give you a few more grinding movies before we go. Blade Sharpener, Crush Hour, Jurassic Spark, Grindhog Day, and Carry On Clamping. That is it for today. Thanks to the team putting together the show. Aisling O'Reilly, Claire Collins, Jack Breslin and Michael Quilligan. Kieran's up next with the Hard Shoulder on News Talk. Have a great weekend.
And action! Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.